Mateus there saying, oh, no, it's not going to be the Russian stuff that gets him. It's going to be the emoluments clause. It's going to be how much money his businesses are raking in off of the Donald in office, how much Ivanka and Eric and the rest of them are cashing in on the name. Interesting. You had Congressman Boyle earlier saying that he thinks an impeachment is inevitable. Interesting times. But now we've got the president abroad. The bar, you know, I don't even know that there's a bar. I don't think that they've even bothered to bring out the bar. They're just going to, if he doesn't trip over himself and doesn't start World War III, it will be a success. And you'll have pundits saying, no, he is presidential. Sad times we live in. Anyway, here to talk about what's going on and, you know, maybe what kind of craziness we're seeing, our good friend Isaiah Poole. He's the communication director there at People's Action. Isaiah, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
So, you know, we're seeing all of this insanity. We're seeing all of this craziness. But fortunately, we're seeing a lot of organizing. And on June 3rd, the March for Truth all across the country. I know you guys are planning the People's Summit. There's a lot of organizing and a lot of stuff happening.
Tremendous amount of organizing happening. Also, there is the Resistance Summer, where Move On, People's Action, and a number of other organizations will be organizing a series of events that will carry through the August recess. So we, you know, if Donald Trump thinks that he's going to enter a period where, you know, we are exhausted and, well, to be honest, we kind of are exhausted, but we're not going to stop.
No, at this point you can't. But, you know, this week in particular, this has been an exhausting week where the flips, the flops, the turns, this is the kind of a week that, you know, even the most outrageous, coked up soap opera writer couldn't dream up.
That's true. I mean, and you know, of course, we had the last week we had the flip flop on the Comey firing and the absolute embarrassment of the White House communications team when Donald Trump said what was kind of obvious, which is that he had already made up his mind to fire Comey. It didn't matter what this report by Rosenstein was going to say, and in fact, Rosenstein himself admitted this week, the assistant FBI director, that, yeah, when I wrote that memo, I knew that Donald Trump was going to fire Comey anyway. So I just wrote this thing, I guess, just to satisfy Trump.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, why write it? I mean, if you already know the outcome, you already know, you know, why? I mean, at this point, you know it's happening. Why throw yourself in the middle of that jackpot knowing that Trump's probably going to throw you under the bus, which is exactly what he did?
Well, this is one of the questions. There's an op-ed in the Washington Post by a scholar at Brookings, whose name I will come up with in a moment. But it was, you know, the question that it raised was, there's a point at which you have to move from joining an administration like the Trump administration because you think you can do some good amid the madness, but then realizing that, no, you're not doing good in the middle of the madness. You're actually an enabler. And you have to now make a judgment about whether about getting out and you know, saving the country and saving what's left of your reputation.
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing all those reports right now that you've got a lot of people who are looking for the exits, a lot of people lawyering up, and, you know, the rats are scurrying off the ship.
That's true. It's interesting that we now have reports that Sean Spicer may be moving toward it can't be a graceful exit, but it will be an exit. I think Reince Priebus really looks horrible in this, because we now have reports that he approached Comey, James Comey, the FBI, former FBI director, and asked Comey to make public statements that would exonerate Trump and the Trump administration. in terms of the investigation of Russia. Highly improper behavior, which would, in a normal environment, would have been enough of a political storm that he would have had to leave. Of course, in this environment, you know, the bar has been lowered so low that we're not even paying a lot of attention to that fact.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, with all of these stories that are coming out now, and look, there are going to be many more coming in the weeks and months ahead. You got to wonder how many of these people end up being indicted. I mean, the Reagan administration is going to look like choir boys by the time they're done here.
And even the Nixon administration will, you know, because we're talking, you know, we're talking about incredible levels of misbehavior. I don't know at the end of the day, you know, what the toll is going to be in terms of, you know, who is censured, who is indicted. Certainly Michael Flynn has done things that are unconscionable, and the way that the administration actually continues. We had the reports this week that Trump has been calling Michael Flynn up and saying, be strong. There was a hint that, you know, Trump has offered to bring him back into the administration in some capacity once all of the, you know, what Trump calls the witch hunt is over. I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, I've been around a lot longer than I care to admit. And I've never seen anything like it. We're in uncharted territory as far as I'm concerned. And I am as amazed that we are, that we're in this.
I think a lot of us are. I mean, look, I go back to during the campaign, and I was predicting, you know, Armageddon. I was saying that this is going to be the most inept administration in history. They were going to rob us blind. It was going to be a massive theft of tax dollars. It was going to be all kinds of chaos. There'd be firings. There'd be all of this stuff. I was saying this back then. To be honest, I was understated. It's
yes.
been worse than I could have imagined.
Much worse. If there's any solace in this, is that it is very, what we have right now is that his legislative agenda, such as it is in tatters right now. They're going to try to move health care. I just got off a call, and one of the things that, that I've heard, which I'm going to, you know, we're going to actually dig into, is the idea that the House may have to do another vote on health care after the Congressional Budget Office score
right.
on the health care bill comes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so they can maybe use the Budget Reconciliation Act to slip it through the Senate.
Exactly. But the CBO score says that bill that the House passed a couple of weeks ago doesn't qualify for reconciliation. Then, you know, they'll have to do things to the bill to make it pass muster in the Senate.
Well, what do you think to this story? Because it just came out the other day that you have Cruz and Paul saying that they can bypass the Senate parliamentarian and end up having Pence say that it does qualify, thus giving them the ability to pass it with just 50 votes.
Republicans believe in the rule of law, except when they don't.
There is that.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the Senate Republicans have shown the capacity, and we saw this in the Supreme Court vote, that you know, if they want to disrespect Senate tradition in order to score a political win, they will do that.
Democracy be damned. Last bit of questioning I've got for you, though, because you guys have got a big, you're part of a group putting up this the People Summit June 9th through the 11th in Chicago. Yeah. Tell me, what's this about? What are you doing?
Well, this is going to be a powerful combination of organizations on the left flank of American politics and organizations who are leading the resistance against Donald Trump, but not just Donald Trump, but this is also the resistance to the corporatization of the Democratic Party. Because what we have to do I had a great conversation with our director of movement politics, Ryan Greenwood, this week. And his point is that we can't just make it about Donald Trump, because if you remember the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton had a very effective argument against Donald Trump, and it didn't work. Why? Because there wasn't a sense in Hillary Clinton's message, at least in terms of a lot of people, certainly in your neck of the woods, Rick, and in other areas around outside of the liberal bubbles.
Yeah, I'm curious. What was the effective message? Because I must have missed it.
Well, but that's my point. I would say that the argument that she made against Donald Trump
is that he's a horrible guy because of the Billy Bush tapes grabbing her by the you know what's. That's all I heard. Their ads, or at least where I live, was just inundating the last 3 weeks of the campaign with those ads. And how do you want such a horrible person? I don't remember her having really an economic message. But tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, that's my point. That there wasn't a strong economic message.
Okay.
There wasn't a strong, how are we going to get the country and the country's economy and the country's democracy out of the hands of the bankers and, the corporatists and the other folks that Donald Trump was saying, well, he's going to go in and clean the swamp, and then it turns out they actually just brought more alligators. People didn't hear that Hillary Clinton was, as far as they knew, Hillary Clinton was going to just bring her own set of alligators to the swamp. And what we have to do is, at the People Summit, we are going to say we are the people who actually understand what the swamp is really about. It is about concentrated wealth. Is about a handful of folks who have our democracy by, its private parts and are not operating in the interests of working people, in fact, are working against the interests of working people, and that we have to rebuild that majority that takes our democracy and puts it back in the hands of the people to which it belongs. And that is all of us.
And look, pursuing policies that benefit all of us instead of just the 1%. And I think it's a great thing. Mark it on the calendars, June 9th through the 11th in Chicago, if you're around, thepeoplesummit.org. For folks who can't go, I know you had done some with your last convention, the Rise Up from Protest to Power convention that you guys at People's Action put together. You streamed some of it. Will there be any of that for folks to pay attention to?
Well, what I would encourage people to do is watch peoplesummit.org. That is the main website for where you can get information about the summit. And I do not know for sure if there's going to be live streaming, but I will let you know if there is.
There you go. Good stuff. Isaiah, always great talking with you. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Good talking to our friend Isaiah Poole. Again, you want to check out the summit, people, thepeoplesummit.org. We'll get links at the ricksmithshow.com. Also, you can check out People's Action site as well. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.